Good morning, everybody.
Morning, James.
I think Myra's bigged it up, what's going on in the back room. I'm not sure whether I should be staying here myself. It sounds a lot more exciting. Thank you, Phil. If I decide to give it all up and I head through there, then you realise that's the place to be. Thank you, team, for leading us in worship this morning. That was a great time of hearing some old and new, a good mix of "And Can It Be?" What a fabulous hymn that is. Gosh, that took me back to many years ago in a Baptist church in South Wales, with that song being blasted out. Fabulous, fabulous. I love songs like that. They just sort of conjure up and bring back memories, don't they, of God's intervention in our lives, rousing hymns that sort of bring us to a place of knowing his majesty, but also knowing God's transformational power through loving Jesus and the love that Jesus has for us. So thank you, team. Thank you. This beautiful arrangement of words, but a real visual sign of people coming to Jesus for an encounter with Jesus. Just like those shepherds years ago had an encounter with Jesus right at the very start, as we were reminded through both Gerald's fabulous poem and Ian's reading this morning. So it's getting ever closer, isn't it? A few more days and then we'll be there. I know in the Hodges household, my goodness me, the tension of Christmas swings from absolute joy and euphoria to then tears and wailing, and is it going to happen, and how much longer? And even this morning there was a panic moment when we realised that in conversation with her uncle, Molly mentioned something, and both me and Krona went an ashen grey, realizing that maybe we'd forgotten something. So a quick shout out to to Amazon. And amazing. Obviously there are other online methods of purchasing, but Christmas is a time, isn't it? It's an absolute amazing time of if we really, and I love the Advent process that we've been on this year as a church, you know, each week being given a sheet of paper with words that are helping us journey to that moment of Jesus's birth. And I felt in some ways that each week, whether it's through the time of worship or through the amazing, and oh, it was fabulous last week, the all-service nativity was fabulous. It was absolutely great to see such the church just full of our community, and whether it be, you know, kids, yeah, they're cheering. You know, it was just a fabulous morning, and I just want to put my personal thanks to the team who put that together last week. It was great. I know, I'm not sure if you're here, but it was a great demonstration of reaching out, connecting with our community, demonstrating God's love, and showing the reason for the season, if for want of a better phrase. So today we're going to be focusing on the shepherds and that moment, and uh, that they encountered Jesus. And that encounter, and I love these words from that I picked up this morning from Ian, was nothing would ever be the same again. That moment that they encountered Jesus as a baby, nothing in their lives would ever be the same again. And it's not just in their lives which were transformed by that moment, but as we see through reading in Luke 2, it was friends, it was family, it was their wider community. Nothing would ever be the same again. So we're going to go to Luke 2, and we're going to read verses 8 to 20. And my fine shepherd at the back, who's on demand today, is going to read us. So thank you, Ian. Luke 2, 8 to 20. Thank you, Ian. So I don't know about you folks, but this Christmas time, I would love an encounter with Jesus, just like those shepherds. And that's that's what I feel like I've been journeying through Advent, just to have that moment where nothing will ever be the same again. That I will feel bold and encouraged and enthusiastic to share that message of encountering the baby Jesus. That friends and families will be astonished, amazed by what I've got to tell them. So I just wanted to just sort of, with that in mind, just wanted to unpack some of the things that I've learned from this, from the shepherds, in order to encounter Jesus. As we break down this scripture, we see an amazing event that kind of is like out of this world. Well, it is out of this world. Angels, a multitude, a heavenly host. I have no idea what that looks like. I can imagine. There's loads of photos and things on Google, which I don't think, you know, they're great representations. But actually, what does it mean? What's a heavenly host? I think, in fairness, we've probably all personally had an encounter with a heavenly host in our time. We probably maybe just didn't realize it. But if we look at this, Let's break it down. What happened? So they had this moment, a real signpost from the heavenly host. And what happened to the shepherds? Well, they didn't just sort of sit there, did they? They didn't sort of contemplate and sort of think, what should we be doing? They just went. It says, let's go. And they go. They gone. That's not an English word. They went. They didn't wait. There wasn't any planning. There wasn't any like, right, okay, hold on a minute. You do this, you do that. They just went because there was a sense of urgency. They wanted to see the Messiah. They left everything. I mean, just imagine, I mean, they were there, their livelihood was looking after those sheep. At night time, the sheep which they are tending was a massive, you know, losing them was the biggest risk of all. That's why they were there on that mountainside looking after them. So leaving the sheep just at that moment, dropping everything and going, was a big risk for them. And then I read through, and as we unpick it, they hurried. They didn't sort of saunter along thinking, oh, well, we'll get there. There's a real sense, like I've repeated myself, but a real sense of urgency. A sense of urgency that this is a once-in-a-lifetime moment. A real once-in-a-lifetime encounter with Jesus. Now, whether we're on that journey of understanding who Jesus really is in our lives, or whether we're there and we've been connected and had a personal relationship with Jesus for a long time, I just get a sense that sometimes we do need to get urgent about encountering Jesus in a new and real way. And maybe that's a message for myself this year, or for others, is that let's not delay. Let's hurry. Let's have some urgency. It might be of this morning, a sense of urgency to write something down. Someone's name. A situation. A sense of urgency that we need to be praying for someone on here. A sense of urgency in our belief, our faith system, to say, actually, Lord, I believe that what I've written on here is going to happen, because this is me having an encounter with you. And then as we see at the end of this, after seeing Jesus, they told everyone. There wasn't this sort of, right, well, we've seen it. Actually, we'll look a little bit silly, a little bit barmy if we go back and tell people what we've seen this today. You know, imagine that. Put yourselves in their shoes. You're supposed to have been out on the hillside looking after sheep. You've dropped that because you've seen this big bright light and someone's, you know, from the mouth of an angel has told you to go and see the Messiah in a stable in Bethlehem. All of that sounds a little bit balmy, doesn't it? But they did it. Imagine going home and saying, wow, you will never guess what happened to me today. That's a bit like me saying to Krona, you'll never guess what happened to me on the M6 toll road at the services at Cannock Chase. She would look at me, well, she knows that I'm a little bit out there, but she would roll her eyes and be somewhat concerned about my well-being and health, and probably say, you're not sleeping well, are you, love? Go and have a lie down, or go for a run. But I believe, folks, there is a sense of urgency and boldness in our need to start to tell people about our encounters with Jesus. Just as the shepherds show us an example of that. Now, there's no doubt that this was quite the encounter for them. And I'm sure you agree with me that angels harking in a field while you're looking after your sheep is a remarkable event. Seeing the Messiah for the first time really was a transformational moment for these shepherds. And I know personally, having encountered Jesus in a personal, real way, that I wanted to share and felt encouraged and bold enough to tell family, friends and colleagues about that encounter. That encounter for me personally, just as it was for these shepherds, I knew that nothing would ever be the same again. Now, this is an amazing story. It's one that is from Luke 2. It's one that's kind of wheeled out every Christmas. And one might be thinking today, well, that's great news for those shepherds. What does it mean for me now, James? Well, like I say, good news, folks, good news. We too have transformational encounters with Jesus every day. I think one of the things that we need to be more aware of, certainly from my perspective, is that I need to be aware of them happening. And then when I've acknowledged this encounter, I should feel excited and bold enough to share the news with others. So in my preparation for today's talk, I kind of thought, well, that's all well and good, James. But in reality, having a boldness to tell people takes confidence and takes wisdom as well, but also needs help. I need help in order to do that. And so I was thinking about this, and I kind of just thought, well, there's other scriptures around this that help us in order to be able to grow in confidence in our ability to share our powerful testimonies. So, a few sort of steps and ideas to enable this to happen. First of all, let's acknowledge the encounter with Jesus ourselves on that daily basis. What was it? I mean, for me this week at work, something that I've been working on for a number of months came good. Hooray. That's a great encounter with God. And things that we've been praying into as a family around our work were answered this week and actually came to life. But it's important not just to let those pass by. Being self-aware that it happened and wasn't just a thing is really important. So I'd call that sort of just acknowledging it, that encounter, whatever it was with Jesus that day, has happened. And acknowledging it yourself is an important step. And then step two, sounds like this sort of plan, but it's just some ideas, is tell family. Tell people that you feel safe with, who aren't going to suddenly roll their eyes and think, my goodness me, he really is. He's bonkers. Tell family and friends, your church family. I love the fact that we have this ability to share our testimonies here. And I would encourage you to share testimonies. There's a power in speaking out encounters with Jesus, whether it be life-changing or what might seem to the person sharing it mundane. But actually, the reality is, if I say to something that I feel so blessed today that this and this happened, the person you're telling might be thinking, wow, if that can happen for him, that can happen for me. And it encourages you, and it builds your own faith. But what you're doing is that you're sharing it with someone who is going to receive it well. And then as you grow in confidence about sharing your testimonies, then you'll have the boldness, just like the shepherds did, to rush home. And as it says in verse 17, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about the child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Isn't that great? As we go into 2020, I'm excited about astonishing people with what God is doing in my life, in the life of us here as a church, in the life of my family. One of the things that we do at home in order to be more aware of God's blessing and is we have what's known as our praise jar. Sounds very holy, doesn't it? Wow, look at the Hodges family with their praise jar. My parents would be so proud. But actually, the reality is it's a good way for us as a family to remind ourselves of God's goodness. In the busyness of God's life, in our lives, we can get God's power in our lives and his blessing on our lives can get lost. And sometimes we're really good at filling it, writing stuff down, and sometimes we're not. But what we have done over the last year, at the end of the year, we open up the jar and we open it and we read through each of the post-it notes that we've written on. And we think, wow, we prayed about that. We asked God for that. And that's happened. Isn't that amazing? And slowly but surely. And we do that with Corona and myself. We get the girls to write stuff down. And it's a fabulous way of just being reminded of our journey over the last 12 months and the encounters that we've had with Jesus. What we want, and like I say, is for that to become, for them to have a boldness in our conversations with our friends, with our family, with our colleagues, with our neighborhood, so that when we see them and we tell them, I love this, in the New Living Translation, all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. All who heard James's story were astonished. All who heard your story were astonished. So in conclusion, in these verses we see that not only how an encounter with Jesus transformed the lives of those shepherds, it also transformed the lives of those who were indirectly involved in that moment. There was an astonishing effect on others. Nothing in their lives would be the same again. I believe that as we can learn a lot, like I say, this happened because the power of the encounter was not contained by the shepherds. They didn't fear what friends, families, and colleagues would say. There was a boldness in their need to share what they had seen. I just feel that if we can grasp hold of a little bit of this, as we move into 2020, sharing our testimonies, being bold about Jesus, our neighbourhoods, our community here in Tawyn, if you're visiting your communities, wherever you're from home, our neighbourhoods too could be astonished. And wouldn't that be amazing? the transformation power of Jesus working in our lives, being delivered through personal testimony. Wow. God will use that in an awesome and mighty way. So I'm just going to wrap up with a prayer. And and I would encourage you, as we step out and have some, you know, some relational time after church, is if God has spoken to you this morning about something that has happened to you this week, even this morning, share it with someone. Share it with someone. Feel encouraged to say, actually, do you know what? Yeah. Kate Cope has encouraged me this last few weeks. John 3:16 was spoken over the lives of the village of Llanegryn. Amazing. Who'd have thought? John 3, through the power of a nativity play, which brought the whole community together. Whether it was, I don't believe half of, well, I know some of those folks, and they certainly, I don't know whether they're walking with Jesus. But there was a real desire there to get involved. And folks, we know from Isaiah 51 that when the word of God is spoken over people's lives, nothing is going to be the same again. John 3:16. So thank you, Kate. That was a fabulous moment in my 12 months. Last 12 months. So, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for Advent, and we thank you for the journey that we've been on together, both as a church, but also as individuals, journeying along that dusty pathway that takes us to that moment where we encounter Jesus Christ, the birth of our Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, the Word becoming flesh, the Prince of Peace coming to calm, the Mighty Counselor coming to share wisdom and knowledge. We thank you, God, that that happened. Father God, as we see and hear and feel you through this time of remembering Jesus' birth, I pray that the Holy Spirit will just bring to our memories and to highlight those encounters that we have had and will have with you, Jesus. I pray for a boldness, Lord, as we move into 2020, and a desire to see people astonished by the power of your impact in our lives, and that we will have a boldness to just share our testimonies of our daily encounters walking with Jesus. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.